Come here, Devilog!
And welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Quarantine Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
I am Lars.
Lars, what kind of name is Lars?
It is my name.
Where are you from?
Far away.
Ah, indeed.
I know where that is.
I do. I've been there once or twice.
Right next to nowhere.
Right next to nowhere and beyond Arendelle. Do you know what Arendelle is?
Arendelle? Yes, I do. Why do I not know what words to say to explain it?
It would help if you'd, you know, just let it go. It might come to you.
Oh, Jesus. Last I heard of that place, it was in deep snow.
It was, but don't worry. They got out of it. Anyways,
thank God.
Joining me as always, Gus over there, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory and Perkis System enthusiast.
You know, since this quarantine started and all this business has been going on, that's pretty much all I've been doing is working out and then drinking beer.
Yeah, Perkis System.
So I'm not getting skinny. Not feeling skinny, Tony, but I am. I'm feeling bulked.
And just before we get any further into today's episode, again, a little disclaimer to the audio. We don't usually sound like this. Usually we record in studio. I don't think it necessarily sounds bad. It doesn't sound high quality, though. Usually,
it's a little digital.
And that's due to the fact that, obviously, during a stay-at-home order, and we have to do this from home with the equipment that we do have, and that being our headsets. So we find ourselves recording yet again outside of studio in our separate offices and bedrooms. So with that being said, what we do here on the podcast is every week we take a film, we watch said film, and then we take the pod to discuss what we liked about the film, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. And then we submit that film to the factory. That's where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? So same film, same story and all that, just different cast and crew. Modern booking is for fun. And then we have a little bit of exit polling on the way out. So with that being said... today.
And this is gonna be a little different too than the typical one, because usually, as Ben said, we recast said film with modern booking. This one, a majority of the cast is kids, preteens, and whatnot, and we suck at doing that. So when we're faced with these challenges, we dip to the wrestling pool, the professional wrestling pool to be exact, and which wrestlers are we going to have replace these kids? It's for fun.
Yeah, indeed. And this one should be fun. This is a movie that we've had on our schedule for a while, a movie that we were going to do 2 weeks ago, but ended up doing Ready to Rumble instead. Or were we going to do The Goonies? We were going to do one of these.
We're going to do this.
Yeah, I thought so. So we find ourselves watching a film that I was honestly finishing it. I was like, I've seen this movie more times in the past few years than I probably should have. But it's one of those that when I see it or start to watch it, I'm like, all right. It's like a nostalgia thing, I guess.
Fucking heavyweights. And I don't know, you know, well, this is going to be a big question. I might ask it a little later once we've kind of gotten into the plot.
How did this movie change your life?
Kind of. It's like, why is this movie, one, as good as it is, but two, as revered as it is. So many people love this movie, including myself, but people put it on like a very high totem. Why is that? I want to get into that as we as we discuss this film. I mean, it's to the point where this is, I don't know if you knew this or not, but this is a Judd Apatow produced.
I was going to bring that up. And he wrote it as well.
And he wrote it. It's to the point where on his first date with his future wife, Leslie Mann, who's he's used in some of his films, on his first date with her, to impress her, he showed her Heavyweights.
He's like, see, I'm good with kids. I exploited them, but still.
And put them through hell,
but
also put them through bliss.
Put them through that
the best damn summer of their life.
Indeed. No, I don't know, because this just falls in line with Disney, like, live-action movies. I feel like a lot of people generally will have, in one way or another, that movie that maybe does, like, this, I think this movie holds up, but for lack of, you know, not for lack of a better term, but just the idea that we watch movies growing up, and then as we grow up, there's that nostalgia attached to that movie, so we watch it either every year or a couple times every other year or something like that. Like Halloween Town. Like, I watch Halloween Town every year. Every year, I go, huh, this sucks. But I watch it. But I watch it every year. So
those words match Halloween Town. Those don't necessarily match Heavyweights.
No. But that's what I'm saying. This movie has that sense of nostalgia attached to it, where I'm drawn to it every year, but I'm like, huh, that was really good.
Yes.
It starts out on a sour note, because you know me, I'm a real stickler for child actors that I don't think are that good. And the main character...
Didn't care for Jerry.
No, just at the very beginning, because it starts every time he's like looking at those people making out. And he's like, "Huh, get a room or something." I'm like, "Shut up."
He like goes back and like gets in their face, like, "Get a room or something."
Yeah, like he's and that, right.
I noticed.
Like, books like, cost a lot. Come on, guys. I'm like, I can't relate to you anymore.
I have a similar thought at the very beginning when. Credits are rolling, and it's the dog. You remember that bit with the dog barking at him? He's, like, scared. He's just, like, standing there looking at it, like, move, go away.
I've had that, like, happen where I've, like, seen a kid or someone do that where they're like, like, overreacting. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. I liked his burn he had on his dad early in the film.
You're fatter than I am.
Yeah, you go. Like, hey, the mother should, instead of standing up and saying, show your father some respect, should have been like, he's got you there, Ray. Or whatever his name is.
It would have just gone over to his mother, and it's just Ashton Kutcher.
Burn!
Yes! Yeah. This movie, it starts out promising with the, it's got, you know, the Dr. Blue from, Mr. Blue from The Incredible Hulk.
Of all the names ever. Like Buster Scruggs himself.
I think he's Mr. Blue.
He is.
Yeah.
I just watched it. Of all the obscene characters he's played.
Mr. Blue. That's the most recent movie I've seen him in.
He's the tinfoil mask guy and the Watchmen TV show. He's very good in that. He's in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Hell, he's in Holes, damn it.
He's got to go dig them holes. Can't wait to do Holes, but with WWE superstars.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
John Cena as Shia LaBeouf.
Whoa. So, yeah, this movie does have a pretty star-studded cast for early 90s kids in that, yes, you have the, I don't remember their names, but like Jerry, the main kid, Kenan Thompson, and, I should remember his name, but the kid who played Josh in this movie, they were all in the Mighty Ducks.
Indeed, yes.
And that was another big,
Disney. Yeah, Disney,
big, yeah, Disney, on. Disney hit, especially very nostalgic with 90s kids as well, similar to that of Heavyweights. A little factoid here, the kid who plays Josh, he's grown up now, he's in his their 40s, 50s maybe. He recently got into a wee bit of trouble. I think he's in jail currently.
I remember seeing that.
He broke into someone's house. He was trying to, like, steal stuff to sell for drugs. And, I think he was homeless, too, before that. Which is sad, because he was, he's kind of a highlight of this movie with me. Like, you're almost too good for this movie. But then you're like, this movie's too good for you.
And then you're like, wait a minute, this movie's too good for all of us.
Hey, you know, this movie has wonderful cinematography, excellent editing techniques, but the villain, he's a little over the top.
He's a little over the top, don't you think? And another thing, real quick, that I did want to just bring up, I don't know if you picked up. Did you notice Paul Feige in there as well?
I saw that he was in the credits, but who did he play?
Tim, you know Tim?
Tim, yeah, that's Paul Feige. Feige.
Indeed.
He's the one who's married to what's her name?
Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Paul Feig.
Feige. It's Kevin Feige.
It's his brother. Yes. Yes, indeed.
It's his brother, spelled differently.
I'm thinking of someone else. Who are we thinking of? The guy who directed Bridesmaids. He's in that movie too. It's a similar name. It's a different bloke. That is Paul Feig. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's Paul Feig. And I clicked him.
But when you go to his thing, his spouse is Lori Feig.
Yeah, but if you read, it says best known for directing films starring frequent collaborator Melissa McCarthy.
I thought they were married to each other.
They are. Is Melissa McCarthy's real name Lori? They are married. I know they're married. I feel like they're married.
Yeah, but she's married to Ben Falcone.
Maybe they're just really comfortable with each other.
And Ben Falcone is the dude in Bridesmaids. We're spending too much time on that.
Yeah, we are.
that anomaly.
Anyways, you look at the guy that plays Jerry now, and you're like, fuck, he could beat me up.
He could have beat you up then.
That's true.
He weighed more than you at 11 years old. 141 pounds.
Yeah, he's like 148 pounds. I'm like, fuck, I wish I was that light.
Well, he's also 11 years old.
I guess, but I've been like the same weight since I was 10.
That's incorrect. I saw a picture of you from something, and you were a chubber, and this was not too long ago.
Hey.
You were like one... You were more than you are now. How about
like, I thought you were about to be like, you were like 1 year old. no shit.
Yeah. But that's part of what I liked about this movie so much upon rewatching. I've loved it ever since I've seen it the first time when I was really young. But is the message that it gave out? It doesn't matter what you look like. It matters how you feel. And that's how people are going to respect you. If you respect yourself, then that's all that really matters. And like the adults in this movie, I like the way they were portrayed because they were kind of portrayed as equals to the children, and the children were portrayed as equals to the adults. I'm talking like the camp counselors,
indeed.
like Pat and Tim and Nurse Lori, or Julie, Nurse Julie, sorry.
But not the boss.
Eventually. Because he loves them. He respects them.
Yeah.
I really appreciated that. I think it was a good message. It's done in a very successful way, and it really makes the feel-good aspect of this movie really hit home. So I like the message of this movie quite a bit. Do you remember, you said you kind of watched this movie more times in the past few years than you should have. Do you remember, like, the first couple times you've watched it, or the first time ever?
I don't remember the first time ever. I remember the last time before this, and it was 3 years, It was my sophomore year of college. Junior year of college. I would have watched
it. Henry Jones Jr.
Yeah, junior year of college, I watched it last, and I enjoyed it. Then...
I don't remember the first time I ever watched this. However, I remember being very young and seeing it a lot. We'd rent it a lot.
However, I remember being very threatened by Tony Perkins.
I remember watching this a lot on the Disney Channel to the point where I never went to a summer camp like this. However, when I was very young, I did Cub Scouts. Okay. Cub Scouts, I remember being very disappointed upon arriving to where they would Cub Scouts would take place. Being very disappointed when they didn't have go-karts. Because I was promised it'd be like heavyweights, and it wasn't.
You got there, and you're like, where are all the fat people?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, no go-karts, but it was, they did have cool things there that I never got to do, like... what did we do? We built drums out of coffee cans. Yeah. We shot BB guns. And this is probably the most memorable bit. We shot bow and arrows, and we would shoot them at hay targets. And there were adults, you know, helping us and supervising. But at one point, the kid next to me, he was pulling back his bow, and one of the supervisors left because some other kid was doing some shenanigans, so he went over there. And as the kid, like, went to pull back his bow, he, like, wasn't paying attention. He was kind of, like, looking down while he pulled it. And as he pulled, he turned, and it was, like, right in my fucking face. And I remember, like, pushing it away. He didn't let it go or anything, but, like, I remember pushing it away. I must have been, I don't know, when I went to Cub Scouts. I had 6, 7, 8, something like that. But, yeah, I almost died then. And I saw that
away.
Kid.
Punching him.
Yeah, I saw that kid decades later. I was at a party, and I remember he showed up with another kid, and I was like, hey, I remember you. You almost killed me when we were little. And he obviously did not remember. I was like, was it all for nothing? Doesn't even remember.
You don't even remember trying to accidentally shoot me with an arrow. What kind of friend are you?
Not that important to you, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, no go-karts and no me, apparently.
No blob.
No blob. I've always wanted to hop on something like that. I was watching this with the girlfriend tonight, and I asked her if she had ever been on anything like that, and she said no, but that would be fun. And I was like, you know what? It would.
She says no, just you. You go, ow! My pride.
Have you ever been on anything like the blob?
Yeah, just you. The blob.
Yummy.
No, I feel like we've seen them in action though in real life.
Maybe it does seem like something that you or I would be like, I'm good, no thanks.
Probably. Like you can get up to 50 feet in the air and be like, okay.
He says 15.
You mean up there where the airplane can hit me?
Yeah. No, thanks. I'm like, but if I bounce off that and go in the water, shark in the water.
Yeah, I would look at that lake and be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good up
no,
here.
No, thanks.
But I guess we should kind of talk. I mean, a lot of people probably know what Heavyweights is about a boy sent to fat camp. He doesn't want to go, and he's encouraged once he gets there that – It's really going to be just a lot of fun. They still eat all their unhealthy foods and things like that. It's really not that big of a deal. And they just kind of have fun for a whole summer. But then upon arriving, turns out that the owners of the camp have gone bankrupt. And they had to sell the camp.
Let everybody sign your checks.
Yeah. And that's great, too, because that's played by Ben Stiller's dad.
Yeah, those were Ben Stiller's parents, I think, but it wasn't one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. What's it called? And old Tony Perkis comes in. He's a motivational speaker, health guru kind of guy. Would you say he's just a satire of all that stuff?
Maybe he's an extreme of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, fitness.
It's to the point where if you've seen Dodgeball, and his character in Dodgeball, Ben Stiller's character in Dodgeball, then you know heavyweights. It's, they're similar to the point where I think people have connected them, correct?
Yeah, they. It's in Dodgeballs where they get connected because I believe – I haven't seen Dodgeball in so long, so I haven't read into this in a while, but I believe somewhere in Dodgeball they mentioned that Ben Stiller's character in that, his father owns like a lighting fixture company. And in Heavyweights at the end, yes, Tony Perkis's father owns a lighting fixture company. So people like link the two together in that way.
Tony Perkis Sr. swoops in, takes the camp back.
Thank God. But are you reading something?
Yeah, I was just reading how they connect, but okay. They definitely do. They definitely it definitely seems as though they do. I love both movies, obviously.
Ben Stiller's Tony Perkis, although a little over the top, one of the greatest villain performances of all time.
He's one of those. I'm like, you're so almost out of place in this film, but because he's so good throughout. But yes, his whole plan is that he's going to make these kids lose weight and get them to be a part of his like infomercial. To be the greatest like weight loss plan ever, the Perkis system.
Right. He goes to extreme measures.
Yeah. What's he say? He's like, I've been homeschooled and tutored by private tutors my whole life, so I'm going to attempt for the first time to handle kids.
That's good stuff.
Uncle Tony.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie is early on when the kids arrived at the camp and they unload all their goodies and they hide them and stash them in secret places in the bunk, like under the chest or in like the knobs of the bed. And they have them in little briefcases and inside their jackets. I'm like, I love that little bit. And then later when Tony's like cleaning them out and when he goes to give Kenan Thompson a hug and he finds the Pez, he's like, it's like our man's packing. He unloads it like a gun. That's good shit.
I mean, I quote this movie with this quote more often than I should, which is, oh, look, a deli meat. Like, anytime I'm in the store.
I hope that's an improvised line, too. Oh, look, a deli meat. you do quote that a lot.
If ever, Chris,
welcomed.
If ever Chris Sabat can't voice Vegeta, ever, for some reason, I hope Ben Stiller steps in just as that.
Oh, look, it's over 9,000.
Yes. The Vegeta system.
That's pretty much what Vegeta's doing. He's just following the Perkis. He's Perkisizing.
Yeah, yeah. But no, yeah, throughout the movie, he is just the highlight, because they're ruining everything, but also it's almost like it's like an internment camp or a concentration camp. Like he's holding all the letters and like basically torturing these fat kids daily, not letting them out into the world, basically.
Not letting them send letters to their families. Destroying the go-karts, killing the blob, everything. All to his idea is to humiliate them to the point that they want to change, and get fit. And the way in his eyes he sees as them being better. He even organizes the dance as the all-girls camp come, just to embarrass them to the point, like, I am going to change my body. But getting back to it, like what I said at the beginning, I like the message of this movie, where ultimately they realize, accept and realize, that isn't the way. You just have to feel good about yourself, respect yourself. You don't have to change if you don't want to. It's all about what you want and what you feel comfortable with. Like, what is your body? I like that. I like that message.
I like that. They got a little fight in them.
I like that. And I love Tony Perkis, though, and my favorite line in the whole movie, can you guess what it is? We haven't said it yet.
You've been an admirable guard.
Strong, fair. No, that's not it. I like
this,
that bit.
Made you this Hershey kiss.
Chocolate kiss. Chocolatey. Oh. Chocolicious.
Butterfingers.
I like, I'll say the line here in a minute, but it's after he's running and he gets back into his camp cottage and the kids were sneaking in there and they leave and the one farts and he like hears it and he's like walking and he smells it and he's like wafting the air, like pushing the air as he's like trying to find where it's coming from. But no, it's while he's running, when he's
after
he's
dogging it.
I'm dogging it, Pat, I'm dogging it. After that, he's like, come here, Devilog. The Devilog. That's it. That's my favorite.
When he walks outside, like, I'm going to start prepping for runs that way. I'm going to walk outside and, like, shake my body and be like, come on, T.
I'm so stupid. I didn't realize. I heard him say, come on, T. And I didn't realize he's talking like Tony.
Yeah.
I was like, is Sean T going to kick your ass? What are you listening to there, guy?
Nah, come on, T. I'm gonna run like him too. Like he was like running, but like pointing with both fingers and like playing drums, basically.
Hey, it's good isometric exercise.
Yeah. That's great. Get on the scale. Get off the scale. Get off the scale.
Yeah, he's full of the lines. It's legend.
Yeah,
it is legend.
This movie. I mean, hell. All right, so. Closing out the movie, I mean, the kids are putting up with them for a long time to the point where they are basically paying an outsider to bring them food, stashing in the log, and he finds out by figuring out that they weigh more now than they did before.
Right.
And so he takes them on a 20-mile hike. Man's insane. He jumps off that cliff at one point. He's like, we having fun now? They eventually convince or basically trick him into a hole and capture him, and they're holding him hostage. The parents come to the park and they show the parents everything that he's been doing to them, but he gets out. Mm-hmm. And holy shit, that moment where he's like shattering glass on the ground but walking over it at the same time to show how strong he is. I'm like, fuck. This guy's like the next Zelda villain. Like he's better than Ganondorf. He's got the Triforce of Power.
Right. He, you know, in that final shot of him, well, not final shot, I guess, he's doing like the backflips and he knocks himself out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the end of him. There's actually a deleted scene that Disney cut. It's on the Blu-ray, but there's a bow and arrow right above where he gets knocked out. He actually grabs it and he points it at Jerry's dad, but he gets knocked out, I think, by Pat. And
let's not make him a murderer.
Yeah. Just for fitness.
Yeah.
But yeah, they cut that bit.
I think that, well, that's another interesting part of this movie, though. It's like you might say, all right, that's the end. They're with their parents and everything, but it actually...
Mm-hmm. It could have ended.
Yeah, it could have. But there's almost two villains in this movie. So there's Tony Perkis and there's Camp MVP, the other kids and the camp counselor there. The Camp MVP is all the athletic kids, and every year they have to have their little get-together race. And David Bowie is really, really good in that role. I really have only ever seen him in this in UHF.
That's all we need.
Hey, as long as I got Bobbo, I'm fine. They have to now decide that they're going to better themselves and face and beat Camp MVP. And they do. And then they go away Rocky and just throw away the trophy at the end.
Yeah, they go away Rocky and end on a freeze frame.
They do.
Yes, they did.
I think the cast of this movie is really great. It's quotable as hell, obviously. But, yeah, Tony Perkis, he's a legend. Underrated character. And Laz, we didn't even talk about Laz. Body!
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 I love the bit when he's shoving kids in the lake.
Yeah.
He's like, Nurse Julie. yeah, he's great. I want a solo film.
Bass.
The deer scares me.
Yeah. Like, please, Mr. Deer, I am a vegetarian.
Lars is great. That's like when I was a kid, like I didn't think Lars was very funny. As an adult, I'm like, this is gold.
Yeah. You're like, you're too good for this film again.
You come for Tony, you stay for Lars.
Well, because Lars makes I forget his name, the guy that's in every Adam Sandler movie in the world, but the cameraman, he has some good lines.
According to my girlfriend, that's the guy who made South Park. I'm like, no.
That is not Trey Park, nor is it Matt Stone.
looks like one of them, but no, he's grandma's boy and the dude in every Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's good in this too. There was a line that he said that made me laugh. In the part like they were at the dance, he's like chaperoning the dance. He just has like a flask.
Was it when he was Einstein and he's like solving the equation?
Nine. It's nine.
Nine. No, nine. It's German for no. No, that's another thing I liked about the movie, speaking of the whiskey thing. Like, yes, it's a kid's movie, but you kind of felt like you're getting away with something. Like, it's like your escapism in that it's realistic, yet...
It's fun for the whole family.
It's realistic in that it's something that I can relate to but can't do in that I'm a kid, and these kids are, like, swearing, and they're at camp, they're having fun, they're eating junk food whenever they want, they're hiding stuff, they're going on go-kart races, and you got the adults over there who some are at your level, they're relating to you, and they're your equals, but then you got some that are like, there's a guy smoking cigarettes, drinking whiskey, and stuff like that.
It's like
you're something you're getting away with as a kid.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. What's the better... camp movie? Ernest Goes to Camp, Heavyweights, Friday the 13th. What other camp movies are there?
Camp Nowhere.
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, because it's their summer home. Nah.
Yeah.
If you had to choose between Ernest Goes to Camp and Heavyweights, which would
Heavyweights? Like? Heavyweights, obviously. Heavyweights is the superior movie. In every way, yes, Ernest is classic. But
Ernest is Ernest.
Ernest is Ernest, and King is King. But Ernest Goes to Camp's not a good movie, whereas this is. So it makes sense.
Did you just say what I think you said?
I'm feeling skinny, Tony. If you ever want to, we can take a road trip, and we can go to exactly... 1 Wolf Lake Drive, Hendersonville, North Carolina. And that's where this Camp Hope is.
Or...
It's called Camp Pinnacle.
Or we could go visit Tony Perkis Sr. Because he is the lighting fixtures king of Western Pennsylvania.
Is he? Western Pennsylvania, that's true.
That's what he says. Yeah, he's like, those of you from Western Pennsylvania... Perhaps you know my father, Tony Perkis Sr., the light fixture king.
I started thinking, I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah. You're like, do I
like, this was 1995.
I like that, too, that his dad was played by him as well.
His what?
His dad, like Tony Perkis Sr., was also played by Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
And he's like, 18 years, what have you been doing with yourself?
Yeah. You know, you always forget, too, that Ben Stiller, he's just in great shape all around. He still is to this day.
Hey.
When he's in Tropic Thunder, he's jacked.
Yeah. He's push-ups, man.
He's just Percocizing.
He's Percocizing, yeah.
How badly do you want one of those shirts?
I wonder if you can buy them.
I think I've seen them online before.
Let's see here.
I want one of those. And I want a Camp Hope shirt.
Perkis System shirt. $13 at activeapparel.com.
That ain't bad.
You can get a cutoff one, $25.99.
Ooh, you could just buy the $13 one and make it a cutoff.
Yeah. What about, let's see here, you said Camp Hope? Camp Crystal Lake. Camp Hope. Yeah, you can buy Camp Hope 89 shirts, 1989 shirts.
That's the one that Pat's wearing.
Yeah, you can buy that one. Basic orange, Camp Hope 89.
Sweet. Sold.
From the Nostalgia Factory at Threadless.com.
I bought this movie. I own this movie too many different ways. I have it on DVD, I have it on Blu-ray, and I just cracked open the Blu-ray today, fresh and crisp. I don't know when I got it, like a year or two ago. Just opened it up today.
Hard.
Yeah, it smelled like victory and plastic.
You're like, thank God I get to smell this.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, so in this portion of the show, why don't we imagine what this would look like if all the kids we got here. So let's go through. We have Jerry, the main kid. He's really the one that they focus on the whole time. He doesn't necessarily want to change. He doesn't see why he needs to change. You got Kenan Thompson's character, more comic relief. You got Josh. He's like almost like a godfather-esque character at first.
This pleases me.
Yeah, but he's like the leader in a sense.
Kind of. He's camp legend.
Camp legend. Yeah. What about the British kid?
Philip.
Yeah, he's a big
No, he's Nicholas.
Nicholas. He's been an honorable guard.
Strong, fair. Awesome. And then there's that random kid who has a bloody nose all the time.
Yeah.
Just randomly.
He's the fattest kid at camp.
Yeah. What's his name? Simmons or Simon? Whatever. Simmons. I don't think it was Simmons.
I do not think it was Simmons.
Maybe I wanted it to be.
You did want it to be, indeed. But yeah, no. You want to imagine what this film would look like if all them kids were played by wrestlers?
Yes, I do, Tony.
All right. So in this portion of the show, so we're taking the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, different cast and crew. But for today, we're looking at professional wrestlers. And, you know, for the purpose of this, let's not worry about director. Let's not worry about composer, obviously. Because we got a lot of wrestlers to go through here. We got a lot of people that I want done. So we got, obviously, Jerry. Jerry is a must, as he is the main character in the film. We have Roy, which is Kenan Thompson's character. We have Josh, played by Sean Weiss, who he was played by. So Josh, who else do you want to do, kid-wise? Do you want Nicholas in there?
Let's do Nicholas and Let's see. Jerry, Josh, Roy, Nicholas. Those are, like, the main ones. There's, what's his name? Was it Sam? Sam had a few lines in there. He's pretty obvious throughout. Trying to look at, like, the top build. And it's mostly the older kids. Or not older kids. The adults.
There was Philip. Philip.
Yeah, Philip. He's the one who's sneaking the burger.
Sims. Was it Sims that was the kid that always had the bloody nose?
Yeah, that was Simmons.
Simmons. Yeah, Sims. So you want Philip then?
We'll do Philip and call it a day on the kids. And then
I guess what we should think of. I mean, fuck, Philip's on the fucking cover of the movie.
Who?
Philip. He's on the cover of the movie.
That's right.
He's a kid with the glasses.
Yes, so holding up that big sandwich.
Yeah, with David Bowie inside, I think. Is that David Bowie?
I don't know. I think that's a made-up person on the cover.
So then we got Tony.
Pat. And Laz.
And Laz. Yeah, we'll do Laz. Even though there are other big characters like Tim and the nurse, that's a pretty big cast we got to fill. So where do you want to start with that?
Let's just go through start it from the top.
All right, so Jerry, the main character.
Yes, indeed. Who do you want as your pro wrestler to represent the main actor?
Oh, obviously John Cena. He describes hustle, loyalty, and respect.
He rises above hate.
Now, if I were to actually choose a professional wrestler to be our main character for this specific type of role, based on what I've seen from him throughout his whole career, as well as, recently with his Netflix show, got to go with the Big Show.
The Big Show.
Because he can play a good guy and a bad guy.
Whoa. And I'm going with a lovable character as of late in pro wrestling. I'm going Otis.
Otis, you monster.
Otis Dozervich.
Otis Dozervich, indeed.
Yes.
Otis, for the uninformed, is from a recent storyline that ended at WrestleMania. And it was, it was a big one.
Oh, please. It's still going.
Oh, shit.
Still going strong.
Well, there it is.
Due for a mixed tag match any day now.
I hope so.
All right, so heads, we got Big Show. Tails, we got Otis Dozervich. Okay, and it is Big O. Big Otis.
Big Otis.
Otis is our Jerry.
Big, oh my! what about Roy? What you got for Roy? That's Kenan Thompson's character.
Roy, I'm going with the world's largest love machine. Viscera.
Are you for real?
I don't know. Here's another good question. Are we going with living wrestlers or all time?
All time. All time.
Okay.
We've always done that because we've cast Macho Man before.
Okay. Because, yes, Big Daddy V has since passed away. Let's see here.
I wanted, for this role specifically, the world's strongest man, Mark
Ooh,
Henry.
Yeah, Roy as Roy?
Yeah, world's strongest man. Picture him walking up to Otis and be like, hey, man, come to park. It's a lot of fun. Until I power slam you.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Mark Henry, world's strongest man, to give him the world's strongest slam. What about your Josh?
Friends packing. Josh. Oh, gotta go Godfather. Pimping ain't easy.
Hey, there it is.
You said it earlier. He's kind of the Godfather of the camp.
Godfather.
Stick with Godfather.
There it is. Papa Shango, or Shango himself. Nicholas, we need to, would it have to be William Regal?
No, we gotta go wimpier than that. You gotta go, what's his name? He has a mustache and the umbrella.
Jack Gallagher.
Jack Gallagher, that's it.
Does that fit this role? He's the cruiserweight.
Nicholas is the littlest of the boys.
I suppose.
You Americans have no sense of history.
That was my all those vice presidents, and I was like, how?
He's like, it's in the script, you idiot.
I was like, these questions are unfair. Like, showing him the art, and I'm like, Jesus.
What's this have to do with athletics?
Yeah.
But it's mind, body, and soul.
The Perkins system.
Just done differently. 1 hour of meditation.
What about Philip? He's the boy with the crazy hair and the glasses.
Are you giving me old Jack Gallagher there?
Ah, yeah. I mean, it's either that or William Regal. But William Regal, he'd fuck you up. He wouldn't let Tony Perkins overpower him.
Yeah, that would have been – the movie would have been over way too soon.
Yeah.
Let's see. Philip, that little redhead kid. I mean, two redheads come to mind. Can you think of what two there that come to mind?
Two redheads come to
Ooh,
mind.
I have a third
Sammy
one.
Sami Zayn?
That's not bad. I was thinking they're Sheamus And then the world's toughest redhead, The Undertaker.
If you want one of the most cut guys that you've ever seen in the history of your life.
Nah, I'm going to go with Heath Slater, baby.
Slater Gator with Rhino. Slater. Heath Slater with Rhino's body.
Eating a bologna sandwich.
And cheese whiz and crackers.
That's cuisine right there.
Cuisine.
I'm going with Slater Gator for Philip. He got someone else. Sami Zayn wasn't bad.
Sami Zayn was who I had because I look at this kid's face and, like, I see it.
I do too.
I see El Generico right there.
You wanna flip me for it?
Sure.
All right. Head, Sami Zayn. Tails, Heath Slater, baby. And we got... Ooh, I dropped it. One sec. I dropped it on the little flipsy-do. And we got Sami Zayn.
Oh. What about... I'm going to save Tony for last. So,
yes.
What about... What do you got for Laz?
Laz. Do we know any German pro wrestlers?
German pro wrestlers. Let's find out. German.
What comes to mind?
Wrestlers. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if has there ever been one like legit, like a full, like character wise.
I don't know. None that I can think of, honestly.
Someone's probably screaming at us too. Like, yo, idiots. Yeah, none come to mind, because, like, I even think, like, because he kind of has, like, a play almost of Arnold. Or, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger style, like, Austrian.
But don't worry, I'm fine.
Yeah, I can't find any like that. But
like Alexander Wolf, like not no one that really sticks out that we know.
We could go with like a different type, like Nikolai Volkov, or
but you gotta go someone who can be redeemed, who can be lovable. Well, I guess Nikolai Volkov was that too. I was gonna say, what about Rusev Day?
Rusev Day, he can be redeemed, but
Alexander Rusev.
Rusev Day can be redeemed. We also got who else?
Or do you want a character who's kind of like a follower?
You know who I want? I want what was his name? Vladimir Kuslov.
You know what? You said Nikolai Volkov, and I was thinking Vladimir Kozlov.
Kozlov. He did get redeemed, because he was in that tag team with Santino Morello.
That's why I corrected myself. I'm like, yeah, he did kind of get redeemed.
You mixed up Vladimir Kozlov with Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah.
WWE legend, too.
And WWE joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mistake. Kozlov, Volkov. Give me a break.
No.
Both teams are trying very hard. Oof.
No.
I'm sticking with Rusev.
I'll give you Rusev. He's a better fit.
Or you want Cesaro, speaking of followers.
No. Cesaro's too good for that role. Rusev is too good, too. But... Rusev, I know Cesaro is pretty funny, but I've watched Rusev like do videos and stuff. He's actually like he's really funny.
Really funny. Yeah.
What about Pat, the main camp counselor?
The main dog.
The guy that's gonna tell you that everything's okay.
Who makes me feel good, and makes me feel like everything's gonna be all right? That is. I don't want to, is he an authority figure? Do we want to paint it out like that?
I mean, he kind of is toward the end.
What about...
Sorry.
What about the Micker? What about Mick Foley? It's Pat.
Mick Foley, Pat.
Can you see it?
It was me screwing up and accidentally dropping out of the chat because I hit a button.
Is it messing up our recording?
It's not. It's fine.
That meant, like, did it stop it or anything?
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with that. Who'd you want? Here, it's about the ding again, just so you know. I'm trying to do something. But,
I said the Micker, Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. There it is. I mean, the Micker does have that kind of style, especially think back to when him and Dean Ambrose were doing that thing. He's like trying to mentor him.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility.
That's my pat, unless you got someone better.
I mean, let me think here. Let me think. 1 second. I know
you're multitasking here.
No, I'm not. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. Just 1 second. Alrighty. So my pick, we'll see if it works. But this would be my pick. Obviously, it's the obvious choice for the job.
His name is John Cena. Whoa! Got it in there, just right.
So that would be my. I hope we'll see if that works. I don't know. It should work. It should record my audio. If it's a blank, you can just edit it in, and it's more work for you. But mine would definitely be John Cena, to the point where on my piece of paper, I wrote it in all caps with an exclamation point.
Well, if that's the case, I have to flip you forward to see if destiny prevails on your end.
All right.
Hails. John Cena.
Believe it or not, the coin landed on its side.
Boy, you're dipping in and out there, was that?
Believe it or not, the coin landed upright.
Here we go. And we got, got the Micker, Mick Foley.
Run from it. Dread it. Destiny still arrives. All right. Well, one last person, Tony. You got for Tony.
Tony.
Tony. I'm gonna say no Sergeant Slaughter for this role either.
No. You know who I'm going with? It's gonna be a popular choice, but it makes sense. He wasn't around very long. I'm going Simon Dean.
You monster. As soon as you said he wasn't around very long, I'm like, I know exactly who this is.
Simon Dean. His character was, he was Tony Perkins. Yeah. He was a fitness
guru. I pick Riku. Riku.
Riku. Simon Dean with his patented Simon system.
That's too hard to beat. That's too good. What was his theme song? Why do you remember this?
I don't know. He was only around for a couple months, I swear.
Wait, no, don't say anything. Christ. I started playing his theme on fucking YouTube, and so it's going to play there. It was correct. You are correct.
That was right?
Yeah.
Nice. That's
depressing and impressive.
Yeah, I didn't know he was a villain too. He was a heel.
No, obviously.
His gimmick was he was Tony Perkins.
That makes the most sense. All right, well, our heavyweights remake with professional wrestlers has our main character Jerry as Otis, the lovable Otis. We got Roy played by Mark Henry, Josh played by the Godfather. Hop on board the Ho Train. Nicholas, played by Jack Gallagher. Philip, played by Sami Zayn. We got Laz, played by Rusev. Pat, played by John Cena. And Tony, played by Simon Dean.
And you were wrong. Mick Foley, damn it.
I didn't even bother to write it down. All right. I Made Two.
Mick that rocks hard, man.
Foley, in all undercase letters. Alrighty. Well, that is it for the factory. Before we go, you got a question?
I did not have one prepared.
All right.
So I'd have to think.
Let's
got anything off the cuff?
Let's think this. So we've done this a couple times now with adults or wrestlers playing kids characters. Come up with two. I want two. What are two different pools of people, like stars, actors, actresses, whatever, that we could pull from to cast us in these kids' movies? So, for example, we watch, say, The Goonies, and we say, all right, we can only cast it as Star Wars characters.
Yes.
Something of that nature.
Star Wars characters is good. Marvel superheroes. DC superheroes. Yeah, superhero characters in general.
Obviously, Mikey. Captain.
Anime characters. Video game characters in general. We got a pretty big pool we could pull from.
We should start doing that, or look to do that at some point. Like, Goonies would be a fun one to do because we're probably now treading into the territory of using a lot of the same wrestlers. Although we use some new ones today, like Simon Dean, Sami Zayn, Jack Gallagher, the Godfather. Really, I think the only reuse, maybe Rusev and Mick Foley, maybe from the past, but I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But yeah, no, I'm down. I'm down for that. Indeed.
And we got two words for you. Perkus system.
Oh.
deli meat.
If it looks good, eat it. But indeed, that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's our primary site. That's where we post the podcast to first, and they subsequently ship it at everywhere else. You can also find us anywhere you get your podcasts, so Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, if you listen to a podcast, we're probably there. You can also
probably
find
us. Listen to the Brothers Movie Factory.
Indeed. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting, clips of the show, what we're going to be watching next, new things in terms of memes Gus makes, and things of that nature. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You'll find us there, far away. And just like us, share what we post. I like to post memes as well as links to things Ben mentioned a moment ago. Links to Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and that.
Indeed. So that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, brothers.
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 Brothers.